Nice.
Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whenever or wherever you are listening to us. You're now rocking with the best. Thank you for joining the Soul on Ice podcast. My name is Kwame, and as usual, we've got Double Trouble in the house, Akil Thomas and Elijah Roberts. Big shout out to my man, Brother B, holding it down on social media. If you want to check us out on all the social media platforms, it's Soul on Ice, the podcast. So we did this thing, boys. First of all, how's it going, guys? You guys good? I'm sorry. That was
I'm good. I'm just cooling. Kicking.
I'm good. I'm finally made it to L.A. There's, I think, 300,000 COVID cases in the city. Bad forest fires, and the air quality's been the worst it's been 30 years, and it's been good.
Wow, that's some very encouraging news coming out of LA. Elijah, what's going on with the apartment? How's that going? You guys haven't burnt down the place yet, I see.
Listen, I told you from the start, I'm a top chef, and it's going well. I cook, my roommate Kyle Bowlers cleans, kept the place pretty clean already. I'm actually home right now in Brampton. It's my mom's birthday on the 9th, so a few of my aunts and uncles and family members were just kind of coming over to celebrate. So I'm at home for the night, but I head back tomorrow and I have a 8 a.m. practice. So I head back tonight for 8 a.m.
Tell Mom Dukes, happy birthday. Have you been on the ice yet with the guys?
Not the full team, but like some of the guys. And we have workouts weekly and been going after it.
So how is it working out for the first time since like February?
Buddy, I've been working out. We've been over this.
Wow.
And you know I'm a beast in the gym, so don't even bring those talks.
Don't bring those talks, Akil Thomas. Don't bring those talks. For everybody out there, our guest on the show is a young man who got exceptional status into the OHL. His name is Shane Wright. Now, for everybody out there, you're going to probably be like, who's that? Never heard of him. But this is one of those guests that you're going to hear him here first. And a couple of years down the road, you're going to be like, that guy. So stay tuned for that. Also, big shout out to everybody that listens to the podcast all over the world. We did a really cool little contest where we wanted everybody to shout out where they're from. And we've had people from Michigan, Florida, Detroit, Toronto, Quebec. I believe I seen Vancouver as well.
New Zealand,
Sweden. Africa, right? We had Africa as well. And Brother B wanted to pick somebody for a little prize. We had these things, they're called Sockies. Now, the pros aren't going to use the Sockies. These are for the kids, okay? Sockies is basically like the sock for your hockey stick. It's really cute, and it's got
the soul and ice. Golf club as well. You can use it for that.
You can use it for your golf club, yes, as well. Yeah, okay, I guess you can use that more for that, but these are for hockey. These are for the kids. So, you know, we're going to be giving them away throughout the year or wherever. But Dean, the guy that won, his name is Dean Kopman, K-O-O-P-M-A-N. If it's Kopman, I apologize for messing it up. But we're going to hook him up with some Sockies. He's out of Utah, so we're going to send him too. So big shout out to Dean. Big shout out to everybody else that's been listening to the podcast. Elijah, I know you're a big sports guy. You don't just like hockey. You also like basketball. What were your thoughts on the Raptors dropping in seven against the Boston Celtics?
Yeah, I mean, I'll first start off by saying I'm not a Raptors fan. I'm a Sixers fan. Anybody who knows me
knows that. How'd you feel last year?
It is what it is, man.
I'm just wondering.
This year, too, losing Ben Simmons, but. Anyway, the Raptors, I'll always support my hometown team. So I'm watching the game. And I said before the game, I said, if Siakam has a good night, the Raptors are going to win.
Yeah.
If not, Jason Tatum is going to snap and the Boston's going to win. And sure enough, that's what happened. And, you know, the Raptors kind of exceeded all expectations this year from the start of the year. Everyone thought as soon as they lost Kawhi, they were done. Right. And they kind of just took off and were still dominant. And you know, you got to give them a lot of props for finding a way to be one of the best teams after losing arguably the best player in the game. So kudos to them. And I think they're going to be a team that's like the Spurs or for hockey fans like the Red Wings, who are just year after year competitive and win multiple championships.
Interesting.
I mean, I didn't really watch it, to be honest, so I can't really talk on it. But I don't know. It feels good to see you know, the city so involved. You know, now, you know, after they won, I think, you know, the Raptors just gained a lot more, you know, fans, and everyone's just more engaged in how they're doing and, you know, who's doing well on their team and stuff. So, you know, it's cool to see that for the hometown.
And I do want to add here, Kwame, when we were talking about Chadwick Boseman, was it last episode?
Last week, yeah.
Last week, we were talking about how people were saying all these mean things on social media when he was skinny, and they were making fun of him. And, you know, after the game, the whole series, if you go on Twitter, Instagram, there's people just ripping apart Pascal Siakam, saying he's terrible. How do we give this guy all this money? Mm-hmm. I just want to kind of go back to what we were saying about how you never really know what people are going through. And to kind of just on Twitter, in person, whatever, be nice to the people around. You don't know if he's dealing with depression inside the bubble or whatever he's dealing with. So just kind of for everyone out there to kind of keep that in mind when you're judging
people. Trash talking.
Trash talking. Just,
you know, and that's just human behavior. Tough guys behind the internet. When you're not winning, you always have something to complain about or somebody to place blame on. You know, Pascal had a bad series. That's just the fact. He had a bad series. He didn't, you know, give what he gave last year, and we saw that. And so I can understand, you know, people, you know, wanting and expecting a lot. You know, I think that's just a part of the game. As an athlete, you're just going to get that. You know, you'll have a year where you're killing it, and then the next, listen, you should have heard what they used to say about Kawhi when, you know, before he came to the Raptors. Even when he was getting to the Raptors, everybody was just like, oh, this guy and his, you know, injuries and all this. But I do find it tasteless that they trash Pascal like they are, because he brought us a chip last year. Okay, he had a bad year.
They love you when you're up, not when you're down.
Yeah, they love you when you're up. And it's not like Raptors. Like, did we think Raptors were going to win championships after championships? Come on now. Like, we got one, okay? I'm glad with the one. I'm honestly glad with the one. I don't expect the Raptors to ever win another NBA championship again. I just know that what they did for our city is more than just a championship. They showed the sports world how diverse this city is. And I hope this is something that the Toronto Maple Leafs can, you know, aspire to have their fan base look like, feel like, and have that type of energy in the city, because within a year, like, they just showed you something totally different.
Well, I'd like to add on to that. I'd say that, you know, Toronto's a hard place to play in. Montreal's a hard place to play in. And, you know, even for basketball now, obviously you have one bad series and everyone hates you. So, you know, I hope everyone would realize that, you know, the more people, you know, rip on, you know, a certain player on social media or whatever, like, that just makes the desire for other, like, players to not want to go to that city. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You want to go to a city where you feel comfortable and it's a good vibe. But, you know, no one wants to go to a city to where, like, you know, you make one bad play or one bad series and you're canceled, right? So I think everyone should take into account that for sure.
Talking about playoffs right now, NHL players are playoffs are deep right now. There's a lot of great hockey being played right now. Dallas Stars they're blowing my mind right now. They are just surprised me. I don't know where that came from, but we got the draft coming up pretty soon. Akil, what are your thoughts? What's going on with your boy Quinton?
Yeah, so the draft got rescheduled from, you know, it's usually around June 20th, got scheduled to October 6th and 7th, and it's going to be held virtually. So, well, that's tough. You know, obviously, you know, my draft experience was me driving down to Dallas, Texas with my family and a bunch of friends, and it was one of the best trips I've ever had, maybe the best. And, you know, it was just a great time to see a bunch of people, you know, a bunch of kids I grew up playing hockey with, and here we are at the NHL draft, about to get drafted and stuff. So, you know, I feel for the kids this year. And, you know, Lafreniere is obviously, you know, a French kid, and it was supposed to be in Quebec or Montreal. So that was going to be a pretty cool thing to see. And I'm sure that, you know, the Montreal fans would be proud of him regardless if they're getting him or not. So tough one there, but I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, you know, the Kings can pick up our boy Byfield and, you know, that would be awesome. But, you know, I've been hearing a lot of different things.
Me too.
So I'm not sure. My Bill Daff from Peterborough is sold on them taking Stutzel. So I can't wait for them to pick Byfield because he's going to get a good text from me. So we'll see. What do you guys think?
Me personally, I think it just, you know, it makes sense for him to go to LA. I've been hearing the thoughts of, you know, they think he's too young. They think he doesn't try hard enough. All these different opinions. But at the end of the day, I think LA is a smart organization and they're going to look to their future. So I'm praying for it. Again, my mindset goes grab Byfield, pair him up with Akil, and there's your future right there. And there's your future right there.
Well, you think about it's tough because, you know, teams usually, you know, pick with, you know, what they need, right? Mm-hmm. And because they're second overall pick, it's kind of tough to do that. It's tough to do that because usually, you know, top five, you just pick the best player available because, you know, top five player is just, you know, a player you can't, like,
there's a bit of pass separation.
Up on, right? Yeah. So it's tough because, you know, you take a look at who they drafted 2 years before me, Velarde, top 10, I forget which number, Anderson Dolan, second round, who should be, you know, a first rounder, and they're both centermen. Then my year, Kupari, centerman, first round, me, centerman, second round. And then Alex Turcotte, fifth overall the year after, centerman. And then Blake Lizotte ends up making the team from college. He's a centerman. So obviously, you know, guys can play wing and stuff, but, you know, do they want a full roster of forwards who, you know, just play center? Is it going to work? So, obviously, Stutz is a left winger, and he's very good as well. But I'm not sure. I play against Stutz, so I thought he was pretty good. But I just haven't seen him enough to you know, see why people may have him before Quentin.
I think with you talking about teams not wanting to pick a different position, you look at, like, former, like, Team Canada teams in the past and just other teams. I think if you just grab the best players can play where they need to play. Like, if they tell you play right wing, you'll figure it out. You'll make it work. You're not a natural right wing, but you're going to make it work. And I think with Stutzel, what Draisaitl has done in the NHL has really helped his case. I think if Draisaitl wasn't doing what he was doing, I don't think there'd be any conversation about Stutzel going number two. But seeing another German player come to the league and dominate the way that Draisaitl did, I think that's kind of opening up the idea of them taking him.
Well, I think the only thing I think about when you say that is, like, yeah, Byfield can play left wing physically, but will Byfield be a better left winger than Stutzel as a left winger? Because Stutzel's been playing left wing, you know, his whole life. Quinton Byfield's been playing center his whole life, and, you know, it's a big change. It's almost like, I would say it's actually similar to going from center to defense. Like, it's just, it's a total different ball game from center. From wing to wing is obviously similar, but from wing to center, it's super hard, in my opinion.
I agree with that in a sense, but I think if you look at how much teams change, like, look at Ottawa when they made it to the conference final. Like, they have, like, maybe, like, three or four players from that team, and that wasn't that long ago. And I'm not saying LA is going to do the same thing, but I think if you have a chance to get a franchise center, someone they're comparing to, like, Malkin, who's, I think, is extremely underrated. Like, I think you got to take him. You can't. And if they pass on him and he turns out to be, like, a stud, then.
Yeah, but I that's 50-50. Like, that's 50-50. Look at
with all his tools, it's.
Well, look at
he's going
to
be a player.
I find it hard to believe that Quentin's not going to be a stud. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Size, his speed, his hands.
Like, every single
no thing, drip, but,
like,
he's good.
He checks all the boxes, and the boxes he doesn't check are, like, things he can
improve
check
on.
Down the career. Yeah, it's not like he's tall, he's fast, he's strong.
I just think, I mean, I guess me selfishly, just for the growth of the game. To me, when you look at the two players, to me, I'm like, what's the, and you guys tell me, what's the difference? If you were to tell me, what's the biggest difference between the two? Does LA lose out picking either of them?
Well, Byfield's obviously big. Stoops was small. They're both super fast. I just feel like, if I'm a scout, I probably feel better about picking Byfield just because, you know, he has the whole package. But then again, like, I haven't seen
him
play that much. I played against him once. And he's a year, yeah, that's true. So,
well, we'll see. All right, boys, listen, let's continue this with Shane Wright. He's coming up next. Very interested to learn a little bit about this young man. It's not every day that you can be considered a player in the OHL as an exceptional status, and we'll learn a little bit about that and learn a little bit more about him as a person for the future. So keep it locked right here. We'll be right back. If you're a deep hockey fan, then our next guest is one of them players that you're going to be looking forward to seeing and hoping your hometown team tanks the season just so they can get a chance to draft him. They say he's got the potential to be good or better than the likes of John Tavares, Aaron Ekblad, and Connor McDavid. We could probably take out the Aaron Ekblad because that's going to be a given. Let's just say compared to Connor McDavid's OHL rookie season where he scored 25 goals, this kid scored 39 goals and had more assists, breaking the 40-year-old rookie record in the OHL. They might be calling this young man the truth in the next few years. So let me introduce you to Shane Wright. What's going on, Shane-o?
Not much, guys. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, we really appreciate your time. And I just want to start off with this for you. So you're the fifth player in history, OHL history, to get exceptional status. For those out there that are listening and don't know what exceptional status is, can you break that down?
Yeah, so pretty much, you have to submit an application to, enter the OHL as, or the CHL as a 15-year-old. So a year early, but like a year before what you'd usually be drafted as. And it's kind of a long process. You have to, submit an application to the OHL and Hockey Canada, and then go through a process with, psychology doctors and, physical exam, all that kind of stuff. And then they make a decision whether I'm fit to play in the OHL year early.
That's pretty awesome. So when you say like the psychology people that study, like what are some of the things that they're looking for? Are they looking for the fact if you're like mature enough to play with these older guys?
Yeah, they're just making sure that, you're mature enough and you're prepared to, enter the OHL as a 15-year-old. There's 21-year-olds, guys are 5 years older. So it's obviously going to be a big adjustment. It's just to make sure that, you're mentally prepared and that you're mature enough to, go into those situations and thrive.
Shane, obviously, like I've played against you, so I know you have a good shot. You're fast, you're smart, you can pretty much do anything, but what would you say your player comparison would be?
I always look at a guy like Matt Barzal and the guy and the way he plays the game. He's such a fast, smart player. He makes good plays and makes his teammates better. He's a guy that I kind of model my game after, and he's someone that I really look up to, and a guy I enjoy watching as well. So
before you got exceptional status, I mean, the last player to get it was Sean Day. He was the only one to get it who didn't go first overall. What did it kind of say to you, the CHL granting you that exceptional status and kind of taking a chance on you after Sean Day? I wouldn't say didn't pan out, but wasn't as expected.
Yeah, I think it showed me that, they had faith in that, I was prepared and I was ready to enter the OHL year early. They felt that I was ready, and that gave me confidence to step in my first year and really try to just play my best and actually make a difference in the league.
So how does it feel to be compared to McDavid and Tavares and those guys?
Yeah, obviously that's pretty special. Just to be in the same conversation as those guys in the same category. you know, they're players that I look up to and players that I watch, you know, pretty much every night on TV. So it's definitely really special. I'm truly honored.
So, you know, when I was a kid, like I'd always find a way to involve hockey in anything I was doing. For example, like I'd eat like Cheerios. I'd like stick handle with the Cheerios in my finger. So what would you say about like your, like you growing up is relatable to something like that? And what would you say about your daily routine that separates you from your peers?
Yeah, I think my whole life is built toward hockey and, you know, trying to make myself better. I'm not someone who, you know, would skip a workout or would, you know, skip a skate or anything like that. I'm always trying to, you know, find ways to make myself better. and I'm never comfortable with where my game's at as well. I'm never complacent with, you know, my skills and all that kind of stuff. So I'm always trying to, you know, find little things to improve on and always trying to, you know, make myself a better player.
I mean, before I get to my next question, Akil, I like, what in the world do you mean by used to play with Cheerios? Like,
man, like I just have Cheerios like on my, you know, those little things that you just like your kid chairs, and I don't know, Cheerios just been on it, and I just like stick out with it, my fingers and stuff. So I don't
How
know.
How old were you at that time?
I did stuff like that up till I was like 13. Like I was weird. I was super weird.
Shane, you know, what about you growing up? What was that? Who introduced you to hockey? And, you know, what do you remember about being a young kid playing? Do you have any stories like Akil where you take toys and just imagine you're playing in the NHL?
Yeah, it's definitely my parents, you know, started me out just getting the local skating programs. And, you know, they always tell me stories about how, you know, first time I was on the ice, I always tried to run like I was, you know, in running shoes on the driveway or something like that. I wasn't actually trying to skate. I was always trying to run on the ice, and I would always, you know, fall over, and then, you know, they'd help me back up and I'd do the exact same thing and fall over. But just, you know, kind of stories like that. And, you know, just always being involved with the game, always kind of playing growing up. I think that's kind of where I got my passion from.
Were you involved in any other sports, or was it just hockey growing up for you?
Yeah, so I also played soccer growing up. My dad, who is originally born in England, who is also a big soccer player himself, so he got me into the game as well. You know, growing up, I always played, you know, hockey in the winter and then soccer in the summer. So those were kind of my two sports that I played.
So, you know, my first year, you know, I felt young. Like, I felt like I was super young. And, of course, you came a year even earlier. So, obviously, you did really well in the league. But, like, what were the first couple things that you found difficult, you know, in coming into the OHL?
Yeah, definitely the speed of the game. And then, you know, obviously, the team I was on, we weren't obviously – you know, Kingston finished last, so obviously I wasn't expecting us to be the best team. So it was just an adjustment playing with, you know, going from, you know, one of the top teams in minor hockey to, you know, I guess the bottom of the league in the OHL. It was a tough adjustment for me. But I think in the end that really helped me out, you know, really pushed me to, you know, take advantage of all my opportunities. And, you know, even just trying to get used to, you know, different players and, you know, different coaches and the system, stuff like that. So
let's talk about Kingston a little bit. I mean, we played each other a lot this year, Kingston, Niagara, kind of battling for that last playoff spot. I think we would have taken it if we finished the year, but I guess we'll never know. Yeah. What was that day like when you first found out you were going to Kingston, and just your whole draft experience? Can you kind of break that down for us?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, my family and I, we all went to Kingston. And the ceremony where they announced me as the first pick was in the city hall, which is a pretty cool building down there in downtown Kingston. So it was a special day for me and my family. You know, got to see a lot of the city, got to see the rink and all stuff like that. And that just, you know, that really excited me for the season, and that you know, I'd be a part of that franchise.
So you were saying that your father was a big influence for you for sports. He English guy. Playing a lot of soccer. What's your relationship with him like, and how did he instill in you, like, you know, that work ethic, not only on the ice, but as a man?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's one of my biggest inspirations. he's always someone that's always pushing me. He's always my biggest supporter. He's always pushing me to make myself better and to be the best person that I can be. you know, just driving me to the rinks, you know, paying for skates and all the equipment, you know, tying my skates when I was younger, taping my sticks, all that kind of stuff. He's always been there for me in my life. And he's someone that, you know, that's really had a huge impact on my life.
So Connor McDavid had 66 points in 63 games his underage year. You had 66 and 58, and obviously you get compared to guys like him and Tavares and Ekblad and stuff. Do you ever feel like that's pressure in a negative way?
I mean, a little bit, but I try not to focus too much on outside pressure, whether it's, you know, media or what guys have done in the past. You know, I always think that, you know, I was in a different situation than Connor was, you know, different team, different time, different players as well. So I try not to compare myself too much. Try not to compare my season to his season. I just try to, you know, do what I do best and just trying to focus on myself.
What do you do best? What do you do best?
I play hockey. I just have fun. I enjoy the game. I mean, I don't know. I just try to, you know, help my team win whatever I can.
The answer is I go top shelf. The answer is I go between the legs on dudes and I make dudes look funny. That's the answer, brother. Okay. That's the answer going forward.
All right. All right. You just
say I score goals because you did a lot of that this year. So, but speaking of a lot of goals going into this season, were your expectations that high to kind of put up the numbers that you put?
I mean, to be honest, I really didn't have any expectations going into the season. I was just trying to, you know, take it one game at a time and not try to put too much pressure on myself to, you know, I have to hit this certain benchmark for points or goals. I just tried to take it one day, one game at a time, and just try to, you know, like I said, keep improving every single day.
I know you're like 6 years old, but like, are you a Boots guy? Will you go to Boots?
I probably would have gone this year. What's Boots?
The country music festival.
Oh my god!
Yeah, Elijah and I went to last year. It was actually a great time, awesome time. Fun. But I was looking forward to it this year. To be honest, it was gonna be sick.
I was gonna go this year, but it got canceled.
Have you been watching the return to play with the NHL and all that? Have you been watching the games? Yeah. How are you feeling about it this year?
I mean, it's hockey. I'm just happy that hockey's on and there's something to watch. I think it's pretty good hockey. I think guys are, I don't know if it's the same playoff intensity as, you know, it may be like in a normal year, but it's definitely still fun to watch. So.
I'm gonna put the feet to the fire right now. I know you're only 16, but it's looking like you're gonna make some damage in the NHL. It looks like you're gonna get there, and you know the world is different. You know, someone your age going into a major sports league like hockey, it's not gonna be just about lacing up the skates and just going out there and playing the game of hockey. There's a lot of social issues that are going on. And with the return to play, you saw what happened with Matt Dumba and the HDA and all that. What are your thoughts about the sports world right now and as it compares to or as it is related to, you know, social justice issues? Do you have a stance on anything right now? Have you been following that?
Yeah, obviously I've been following. And it's something that, you know, I've tried to, you know, put more thought into and something that I'm trying to learn more about. I think that's something that everyone can do. Everyone can listen. Everyone can learn. Everyone can, you know, improve on stuff like that, and myself included. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just trying to listen and trying to learn as much as I can about, you know, those social issues and, you know, whatever I can to help, you know, improve them and, you know, make them not an issue anymore.
Because you grew up in Burlington. Burlington's a pretty diverse city, right? What was it like growing up in your city as far as like, you know, playing hockey with kids? How diverse was it for you?
I mean, it was pretty diverse. Obviously as a younger kid, that's not really something you think about as much, but I think, you know, where I live and, you know, the city I live in, I think it's very diverse. And then, you know, growing up playing hockey, you know, every kid had the same opportunity for me growing up, you know, where I was from. But yeah, it wasn't really something that I was not something I was focused on, but it's not something that was, it's not something that I could notice as much as a younger kid, because it wasn't really apparent to me when I was younger. It wasn't, I didn't notice it as an actual issue, but
being such a young guy, was there anybody who kind of came in and took you under the wing right away?
Definitely our captain, Jacob Bratney. He's a guy that, he does everything right. He's a leader on and off the ice, and he's a guy that, works hard, every single day to, be a good leader and be a good role model for everyone on our team. And he's definitely a guy that, kind of took me under his wing, definitely a guy that I look up to every single day at the rink.
I would say you're a pretty, well-rounded player, but what's something you want to work on, going into next year?
I definitely want to be better on the D side of the puck, in my own zone, trying to, playing against top players. I'm going to be playing my own end more than I'd like to. So being able to, play solid defensively and, try and shut down some of the better players is definitely something I'm trying to work on.
Are you looking forward to an NHL career? And do you think you're mentally ready to go out there right now?
It's still a couple years away for me, so I try not to focus too much on that. But obviously, it would be a dream come true for me. I mean, it's a dream come true for almost every kid in Canada growing up. So I feel like, even though it's a few years away, I feel like, I'm getting well prepared, and I think I will be prepared for that.
Nice.
I know you're a humble guy, and I know you don't like to, put too much pressure on maybe a goal or whatever, but how many points do you think you're going to throw up next year?
I have no idea. I don't know. It's hard to predict. It kind of depends on, the season length and how it kind of goes, but I guess we'll just see. We'll see what happens. But
I'll give you a little advice. I mean, maybe not advice, but just playing with a lot of guys who put up 100-plus points in the league, I think with the season you had as just like a rookie year, like I would say anything like less than 100 points would probably be like something that you'd say like another great season, because would you put up 66 in like less than 70 games?
58.
Less than 60 games. Yeah, 58 games. So I think if you just like say at least 100 and then you go from there and –
these guys
maybe break 120.
Pressure. They're putting the pressure on you, Shane.
I'm just saying, man. If you're going to put up 66 as a 15-year-old, I think you should make it your goal to at least get 100 next year.
I mean, I'll try. Hopefully.
I got a little lightning round of a bunch of questions I want to hit you up. And just, first thing that comes to your mind, I want you just to answer them, okay?
Sure. Sounds good.
All right. Favorite music artist?
Ooh. Luke Combs.
Okay, I don't know who that is. Worst movie ever, a country guy? Okay.
Yeah.
Worst movie you've ever seen?
Ooh. Here's a good one. Sharknado.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called. Something like that.
It is. Which NHL goalie would you love to say you scored your first goal on?
Probably Carey Price.
Nice one. If you could play another sport, what would it be and how good would you be?
I'd be a soccer player, like I said, growing up. I was decent. I was always, bigger than the other guys, so I kind of helped out. But I'd be all right. Not bad.
You're too humble, man. You're too humble.
Yeah, you're a really humble guy.
I'd be an NFL player, and I'd be in the running back playing today on opening day.
I'd break your neck.
No.
In the NHL right now, what defenseman right now would you hate to go against? If the puck was in the corner, which NHL defenseman would you be like, nah, I might just kind of turn away from that? Or do you fear no one?
Chara.
Yeah. Good answer.
Yeah.
Shane, I think you got an invite to the summer showcase this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, can you see yourself, if the tournament does go on, making that team?
Yeah, I think I have a shot. Talking to Coach, Jordan, he said, all the guys in the camp have a shot, and I think that's the same for me. I'm just going to the season, start of the season. Hopefully start as well as I can and hopefully get a shot at the team.
Oh, I answered that for he'll make the team. Yeah.
I mean, you're captain.
A lot of pressure on me.
It's a lot of pressure on you, bro, but that's how we get down. we put the pressure high on you so that anything less than that, you just get called out on the show. No, I'm just kidding. Lyles, you want to hit him up with the top five, bro?
Yeah, we can get to the top five.
Okay.
So, it's your first NHL game, because that's our expectation for you, that you're going to play that first game. It's first year, you carry the team with a 90-point season, made it to the Stanley Cup Final, Game 7.
Pressure again,
lots of pressure. Love the pressure. Driving to the rink, you got 5 songs. What are the 5 songs you're going to play?
I mean, I don't listen to a ton of music before games, but right now, probably Dreams and Nightmares, Meek Mill.
Okay.
Laugh Now, Cry Later by Drake. Wishing Well by Juice. Money Longer by Uzi.
Akil's like that 4.
And then UCLA by Earl Grime.
Call me. That's music, bud.
A lot of that went over my head, but I didn't hear too many country songs in there. What's going on? No Shania Twain in there? What's up?
No one thing, right?
Like, yeah. No, that's a good song. Country isn't really like a pregame thing for me. It's kind of just like a chill out playlist to listen to.
Say that a little louder for Akil.
Does Akil listen to a lot of country before his games?
This guy would play One Thing Right before every single game before we skate on the ice.
Elijah, who asked to put in our warm-up tunes?
Not me.
The guy in the mirror, okay?
Not me.
For you.
They're undercover country boys.
I'm not undercover. I came out with it. I like country.
I just like the odd song, and I like Boots and Hearts. That's it.
Yeah, Boots and Hearts.
I don't know.
I'll see you there next year, Shane.
Call me. We're taking your Boots and Hearts, too.
Yeah, okay. Imagine that. Just picture me at Boots and Hearts. picture that. I'd come up there Wu-Tang down. They'd kick me out. Shane, are you excited for next year, man?
I am. I'm really excited. Whenever it may start. But
yeah. How have you been doing throughout this whole COVID crisis? How have you gotten your hockey on?
So I've been skating for a few months now. Rinks have been opened up, so I've been able to get ice time. And then, in the gym, I've been working out pretty much steady since I've been home. I was lucky, my trainer dropped off some equipment on my house, work out in my gym. So I was lucky enough to pretty much get the same experience at home as I would at the gym. So
good for you. Let me get this straight. Since COVID started, you have been working out steadily. Like it's like the regular stuff for you, right? Wow. I know a couple of guys who it took them a couple of months before they started working out again. It's interesting. It's very interesting.
It is interesting.
Isn't it interesting?
Do you feel like you need to put on some weight? Like, do you ever feel like because of who you were targeted last year and that guys would try and kind of take a run at you?
Yeah, I've been trying to put on some more weight this summer. And that's definitely something that I think that's going to help me next year. Being able to battle with the older, bigger, stronger players, I'll definitely benefit from that a lot.
You got this, man. Listen, Shane, I know you got your boys coming over to hang out with you, but I'm glad you came down to rock with us. And hopefully, in the years to come, this is kind of like this is going to be like your cred. Okay. This being on this podcast is going to be your cred. It's going to get you into a lot of clubs. A lot of clubs in the future. Hey, before we do let you go, if people want to find you on social media, where can they go? How can they check you out? How can they see those highlights? I saw a highlight of you. Like you basically won the faceoff and scored. It was just the weirdest thing. I was like, how did he even do that?
That might have been on me.
That was on Akil.
Oh my god! He didn't win the face off. I won the face off, and like I don't even know what happened. He just ripped.
I tied you up.
Oh, I was god, so you mad.
To just sitting there.
We got to get that video up on our page, but we got to make sure I wasn't on the ice first. But
I think it was while I was on Peterborough. Lies. You're safe.
Oh, I'm safe. Get that video up.
I just looked. It was like a face off, and it was like a goal. And I said, did he even shoot the puck?
I scored two goals that game, and I was like a dash one because of this guy.
I remember the one game against him. We went to overtime, and he scored the nastiest goal. And it was just like, man, like, how do you do that?
Shane, are you a chirper? You chirp?
No.
It'll come with age, I think. With a little
bit. It'll come, though. Yeah, you got
to
start chirping, dudes. I think you're not because you're young. You don't want these older guys to kind of feel a ways, but you got to get a little bit of chirping in you, just especially if you're playing.
I would say for Shane, he will need to chirp like right now because he's just like
he doesn't need to chirp,
you know.
I think next time you go up against Akil in the face off, say something about his hair. Just say, what's up with your wig piece? Just say that and you'll throw him off, okay? Listen, Shane, thank you so much, man. We really appreciate your time, bro.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, man. All right.
See you, buddy.
All right. See you guys.
That's Shane Wright on the podcast. So on Ice. Akil, I didn't even know that was you that was facing off with him, and then he scored on you.
Yeah, I mean, like, I remember.
Is he that good? Is he that good?
Well, I remember going into the season, obviously, we heard some kid, you know, it's going to exceptional status and just you know, talking about him before we were playing, everyone's like, there's no way like this guy is actually going to, you know, make a difference. He's an underager and stuff. And I remember just like him literally looking like he's been in the league for 4 years, like his first couple games. So he's going to be a special player. Like he understands like, you know, how to be a professional already. You can just hear the way he talks and stuff. So I'm really excited about, you know, watching him. And you know, I feel cool to say that, you know, I played against him in his first year. So, you know, I'm pretty excited for that kid.
Dope. Well, listen, man, once again, boys, great show. And next week we do it all over again. So keep it locked right here on Soul on Ice, the podcast.
And when we make it, we gonna put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Yeah. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, Andy, you bring a cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. Trees are dusting, fussing, fighting. With myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror. And he's always reciting the poetry of my power. Statistic of my weakness. Shadow boxing with Tyson. I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table. It's time for lunch. Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie. Progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They soul the show and know the. They live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali. He changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee. It's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. Let's dedicate this one to Jade and Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinto. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***, only really want a house with a gift. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the pass from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. You young.
And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.